All right, you may be seated.
Over here.
Certainly he has a right to pass this by. We don't want what we deserve. We'd like for him to stop by our cell and set us free. And we pray he does that for someone today. Want to welcome those who are joining us today all over the country. We're live on Facebook today, so I think we're back on now again after a short time here of being off, so you can tell your friends to join us on Sunday morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. Then the Lord said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And here's one of my favorite words. Behold. What does it mean, church? Look. Astonishment, amazement, wonder. Behold. The bones are talking. They say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. I want to speak to you today using the subject peace in the valley. Today we go to the valley. The valley where death seems to reign. A place where there is no smile. No laughter, except for the hideous giggles of demons. The valley of dry bones, which represents the universal depravity of man. I'm sure that you understand this to some degree, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. Man is evil. You don't have to go very far to discover that. Just stick your head in your belly button. You'll find enough there to send you to hell. Oh, today, if we could just find a sinner. The valley of dry bones then represents depravity. There is none good. No, not one. Verse 11 says, these bones are the whole house of Israel, or the whole house of humanity. There is no difference. Whether you're a crackhead in here or using heroin, or you're a deacon in First Baptist Church, you are a sinner. And you, by nature and by choice and by practice, have missed the mark. You've come short of the glory of God. You are not good enough to go to heaven. All have sinned. Here in the valley, there is no light, only complete darkness. And for some, there is a double darkness in this valley, because some in this valley of dry bones are religious. And for them, there is not only the darkness of their own nature, but that of religion. I know you, some of you in here, are not an addict. You are religious. You are in a double darkness. You are without God and without Christ. You don't have a needle in your arm. You've got a Bible under your arm. And proclaiming yourself to be righteous by your own doings. You too live in darkness, only you have a double darkness. The darkness of your nature, which is your natural depravity, and you have sought out a self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. You think yourself better than others. In fact, I'm a little surprised you're here today. An inner city church filled with those who have walked the streets in prostitution, who have used drugs, Maybe you just come over to make us a little better. You sit in the church pew. You sing in the choir loft. You attempt to camouflage yourself with the fig leaf aprons of religion. While claiming yourself to be righteous, you are a fool. While claiming, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name?" Say, "Pastor, I haven't been here 30 minutes and you've already offended me." That's good. That's good. Because you're hearing me. And maybe you will be awakened today of your need of salvation. Here in the valley, you wrap yourselves in the filthy rags of your own righteousness. Play church. And to the God who gave His only begotten Son to save poor sinners, you will not submit yourself, but go about to establish your own righteousness. And there is nothing that angers the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ any more than for you to try and attempt to establish your own righteousness. God will not have it. I can tell you, as for me, I would rather stand before God as a heroin addict without Christ than a church-going, self-righteous Pharisee. Now you know I have covered both ends of the spectrum. There is none good. No, not one. Today you're here and there's not a shout in your heart. In fact, you are a little shocked by all the joy in this place. You like that spooky organ music and the church anody and that sort of thing. But there are some in here who were in the valley of dry bones. And their bones were very dry. And something happened. And so there is a shout in their heart. There is a joy. There are others in this valley who live in the dark shadows of the valley of death, in the alleys, in the hood of life, whispering to the suppliers of their addiction in code words, offering their bodies in trade for a hit to fill their valley of needs with a brief sense of fulfillment. Some in here have slept with dogs. Some have performed unspeakable acts of depravity, committing acts which generated in hell and are only committed in sin's dark valley, for they cannot bear the light of day. Some in here nearing the brink where they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God is close to finally giving them over to a reprobate mind where they shall live in hell, go to hell. For certain, it's been fixed. It's the unpardonable sin, a reprobate mind. You will not turn. You will not acknowledge God. And your daily life is lived in constant rebellion against the God of heaven who sent His own Son into the world. You will not bow. You will not acknowledge Him as Lord. Reprobate. Doing things that are even contrary to nature, as Romans 1 talks about. So in this valley, there is nothing but dry bones. Very dry, the scripture says. Is that your life? Are you a dry bone? Is life, you have a dry bone existence? Every day you get up, with the purpose to try to bring life back into your very being, and seeking those forms of life that only bring more destruction? Are you living life according to the course of this world? I hear all the time, everybody's doing it, and everybody's going to hell too. Look in your own soul, you have no life. Whether you're churchianity or you're using drugs, life is not good. You don't have abundant life. Here's what Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you living according to the prince and power of the air? Just take a look at yourself. Does the devil do what you do? Yes. You and he are partners in this walk of life, according to Ephesians 2. The prince and power of the air, demonic spirits control your life, and you seemingly don't have a clue. That's how desperate it is in this dry bone valley. You're living in the lust of your flesh. Just think about what you long for, what you crave that comes from the very recesses of your depravity. And those of us who try to throw up roadblocks and try to stop you, you will not have it. Dry bone. Without God. Not living on the mountain of life, but in the valley. I say this quite often to this congregation. I hear this over 50 some years, I've heard this. Well, you know, Pastor, the Christian life is just so tough. No, the crack heroin life is tough. The dry valley life is what's tough. Miss Pam was rehearsing with me why I ought to be happy today. This morning. I am so blessed. I said, Kent, you got up this morning. You're smiling. You're in good health. You have a house. You have a beautiful wife. She didn't say that, but I said that. You have two daughters. You have grandkids. You'll eat today. We're going to go out and get in a nice Chrysler 300. You're going to drive to church. There are people waiting there. The Lord is there. That's my life. That's my life. Some of you are past feeling. You say, well, Pastor, you're frightening me just a little bit. That's good too. I hope you see yourself in this valley of dry bones. And I hope today that someone here cries out this way, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. I hope I can hear that from somebody today. I hope somebody acknowledges that. The desperately wicked heart longs for nothing more or less than to fulfill its own selfish desires. Look at yourself. Look at your life. You don't care what mom wants for you. You don't care what dad wants for you. You don't care what the pastor wants. You don't care what grandma or auntie want. You're going to fulfill your own desires. That's called depravity. That's called wickedness. Honey, you need a savior. It's demonic mentality. Caring not for mom or dad or children without natural affection. Dry bones, very dry, parched. I've been here at Grace Centers for over 30 some years. I'm not surprised anymore. I'm not surprised at the depravity. I'm not surprised at what I hear. I'm not surprised at what people do. It's called depravity. The gloomy truth is that we are altogether become abominable And all flesh has perverted its own ways. And you, my friend, without Christ, are lost. You're lost. You are so lost that you won't even acknowledge you're lost. You have no sense. Every day is a loss. You do the crazy stuff over and over and over again and put on a persona like you have a sound mind. You're nuts. Doing the same thing over and over and reaping the same consequence. Why do you do it? Like the poor wretch who was possessed with a legion of devils. Fetters couldn't bind him. That's you. Chains couldn't restrain him. That's you. You're a wild ass's colt that can't be tamed. We try to tame you, but the truth is, Grace Centers of Hope can't tame you. Our programs can't tame you. This church can't tame you. Religion can't tame you. You're demonic. It's demonic. Now, let's get some relief. Some in this valley, and what a wonder it is, some in this valley find it to be unbearable. That's what verse 11 tells us. Behold, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing when a dry bone goes like this. Behold, my life is a disaster. I am demon possessed. I can't bear it anymore. Oh, that's a glorious thing. I hope some of you today, instead of getting mad at me, you sit there and you go like this. That's true, Bess. That's true. What you said of me, my life is nothing. I have no life, and I do the same things over and over and over. I'm a dry bone, Pastor. I'm cut off. I've lost everything. And I feel inside there is no hope. Oh, I got some good news for you. I've got some good news for you. You see, the word behold there is there because this dry bone begins to feel. Begins to feel. Some of you are so arrogant in what you do. You're not ashamed of it. You don't feel. You don't mourn. You don't struggle. You don't cry out in desperateness. Why in your wickedness will you not cry out? Because you don't see it. What a glorious thing it is for the Holy Spirit of God to come where you are and open your eyes to yourself. And you look and you say, behold, I am a dry bone. And hope is lost. When you get to the place where you surrender, I thought it was so awesome as I read the testimonies in our newsletter. Every girl in here talked about getting to the place where they surrender. Where there was no hope left. Where they gave up. Mary talks about in her jail cell calling on the Lord. Giving up, down on her knees. What a wonder to find a wandering sheep who is most skilled in wandering. Oh, I'm not saying you're not good at wandering. Oh, you are so good. I often say, we have the best cons in all the world at Grace Centers of Hope. We hire a new staff person. I always go, these people are good. They will convince you. There's going to be problems with our drops. Every test we run, there's something wrong with it. They're so smooth. When they get their AVOs, they're not going to be where they say they're going. They're liars. They're cheats. That's why we have to call and say, don't come 3 days later and drop, come right now. Because we don't believe you. How am I preaching today? That's how lost you are. We're trying to save you in the sense of saving your life where you don't die. We had another girl OD just this past week. Just wanted to make one more run. And that was her comment, I understand. I think I have one more run in me. And bless her heart, she did. But that one more run took her out into eternity. What we're doing is like this. Hey, the bridge is out. The bridge is out. But you are so stiff-necked. Which reminds me of a scripture in the book of Proverbs. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There was a young lady sitting in a service where Brother Barnard was preaching. And as he preached, she broke down and was just sobbing. And Brother Barnard went up to her and said, young lady, may I help you? And she said, for God's sake, preacher, leave me alone. And he said, for God's sake, I will. She left that service, drove a mile, and ran into a brick wall and died. You don't want the preacher or God to leave you alone. What you want is a visitation from the Holy Spirit. What you need is a God visitation. Some of you in here have never had any serious thoughts about seeking the Lord. You're not seeking the Lord. You're only here today, some of you, because you have to be here if you're going to eat our food and live in our beds and take showers over there. The only reason you're here is because the world has beat you up and you ended up in a homeless shelter and then you had to come over here to church. There is some sense in which I have a captive audience, at least for a little while. But what needs to happen in your life is you need to come to see that you are a dry bone. What's behind this outburst? Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. What's behind it? Well, look at verse 5 of chapter 37. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Oh, something so awesome could happen. You know, if God's not here and God does nothing, we've just gone through a religious exercise today. You do know that. But there is a goosebump understanding on my part that God is here and that God is speaking through this preacher. But the truth is, if my poor voice is the only voice you hear today, you will leave here none the better. But if in the providence of God, through my voice, the Holy Spirit speaks life to you. What an awesome thing. If the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Jesus, comes where you are and says, live! The first evidence that you have life is you will begin to mourn over your sin. You will know, in fact, that you need a Savior. Only sinners get saved. It's the truth. And only God in the power of the Holy Spirit can turn you inside out and say, look at yourself. Just look at yourself through spiritual eyes. And when you see yourself, you cry out, unclean like the leopard, unclean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord will say, I will. He'll not turn thumbs down on you. Think about this, dear church. If the Lord had left us until our nature had spontaneous desired renewal and our hearts had panted after His salvation, He would have left us forever. For we would have chosen the downward path, and after the lust of this world, we would have gone. The truth is, Jesus is not lost. You are. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Wouldn't it be a great thing today if he was seeking you? Wouldn't it be a great thing if someone here, right while I'm preaching, couldn't take it anymore? Pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. It's all right. You want to disrupt our service? That's a way to disrupt it. I'll keep on preaching. You keep on crying. Pass me not. You see, there's only one spirit that can deal with the spirit of this age, and that's the Holy Spirit. You're not gonna quit running. You're not going to quit using until something powerful outside of your dry bone life gets a hold of you and does for you what you cannot do for yourself. And here's what the Lord says. Behold, O my people. Behold, O my people. I read that, been reading that this week, and on one occasion as I read it, the Spirit of God jumped in my heart in this great truth. Behold, O my people. And I went like this. Who? Dry bones? Are you saying that these dry bones, some of these dry bones are your people? Oh, some of you don't even know as yet that you're his person. That you were chosen before the foundation of the world. You don't get saved accidentally. You get saved on purpose. You have been predestinated to be here. God is so good to you that in all of your craziness, he brought you in here. In all of your stubbornness, he brought you here to hear the gospel. And then he comes to you, the hound of heaven. Oh, he has tracked you down. You went and hid in the hood. You hid in the crack house. And every once in a while, you'd even go to church and hide and sit there and go, hallelujah. You were half high then. And did the religious thing. Amen. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I say this quite often. I'll say it again. There is no hope over at Grace Center's of Hope for the addict. Outside of Jesus Christ. And here's what I see. And as I've gotten older and longer in the ministry, I see we've got to do something about this. People go through our little program. If you don't get saved in our program in about 7-8 months, you're going to move over to Seneca Street and get drunk. You're going to move over to Seneca Street and put a needle in your arm. You're going to get high. You're going to be sneaking from house to house. You girls and guys over there. You know why? Because the same OU that came in Grace Centers of Hope is still the same OU. We just moved you over there. You just moved from one location to another, but it's the same OU. The truth is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I was thinking about it this week. We don't know what to do about the hair. People don't know what to do about the hair of an addict. Everybody's throwing their hands up in there. Let me tell you this. 33,000 people died this year from heroin overdose or more. I know the answer to heroin overdose. You must be born again. You're not going to quit heroin unless something more powerful than heroin gets a hold of you. It's true. But there is hope. Oh, if you're a heroin user here, I'll get back to you church people in a little bit. If you're a heroin user here and you've just run out of hope, you just have no hope. It has just kicked your butt. And you are just worn out. Oh, good. I've got some good news for you. There is abundant life in Jesus Christ. Come just as you are without one plea, to Jesus Christ. Here's what we all need to realize. And this will cause great praise. Verse 14 says, "Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." My one message is this, that salvation is of the Lord. That's it. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what you will say. If you ever come to know Him, you're going to say it. Some people say, "I don't know about all that grace stuff. I don't know whether it's all of grace. I just feel like that we ought to have a part. Yeah, you do the sinning. He does the saving. The sinning is your part. If He had not come to you, you would never have come to Him. You see, God is sovereign. I'm so glad that He has not dropped the reins to this universe. That our God reigns. Amen. That He reigns. I'm so glad He reigns. All right, I'll be right with you, baby. Miss Pam. I think we may have had a Holy Spirit interruption, which is okay. Okay. We've come to Christ. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. News alert. News alert. Let's have a flash here. What happened?
Wants God to change your life.
Wants God to change your life. You know. Oh, a dry bone. Wanting God to change your life. That's the beginning. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Oh, Lord, change my life. Have mercy. Our God is such a great God. He is sovereign. Isaiah 46, 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I'm God and there is none else. I'm God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." That verse says the same thing Romans 8 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Whom He predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Young lady, I don't know your name, and I don't know your experience here, but I do know this. By the time you began to say, "I want God to change my life," He's already been working. He plants a hunger and a thirst. It's because God and the power of the Holy Spirit has already come to you that you say, "My bones are dry." It's evidence of life. "And you hath He made alive who were dead." He came to your grave, to your tomb, and said, "Live." And here you are alive. Let's stand and praise our God. Trust Him today.